friends, on this night, this Holy Thursday, and every Holy Thursday, one of the central mysteries that we commemorate is the institution of the Eucharist. Jesus giving his body and blood to the apostles at the Last Supper, and then offering that as a memorial gift to his people and to his church. And I have to admit to you that if this year you were having trouble entering into that aspect of this liturgy, I couldn't blame you. If you're struggling to enter into the Eucharist, that this celebration you think is somewhat muted and anticlimactic and almost a kind of slap in the face, I wouldn't blame you. Here we are tonight celebrating the institution of the Eucharist, and most of our Catholic people throughout the world cannot partake of it. We couldn't blame you if part of this evening is difficult. But I want to suggest to you tonight that this is a privileged opportunity this year, this Holy Thursday, to draw our attention to what the Eucharist is meant to do within us. That this is a privileged year to focus not on the Eucharist itself, since most of our people can't partake of it, but to draw our attention to the effect of the Eucharist. How we're supposed to be transformed by receiving that gift. And in that sense, it's really fitting that we hear the Gospel of John's account of the Last Supper. And we hear it every year on Holy Thursday night. And to be honest, most years I kind of get annoyed because I'm like, let's hear the words of the institution of the Eucharist that are at the Last Supper in Matthew's account and in Mark's account and in Luke's account. Instead, every year, we hear John's account. And it's not that John doesn't care about the Eucharist. He has an entire chapter, chapter 6 of his Gospel, devoted to the bread of life. But John's Gospel specifically, in focusing its attention at the Last Supper on the washing of feet, wants to draw our attention not to the Eucharist itself, but the effect of the Eucharist. That if we're receiving the Eucharist and understanding what it is, if we're taking the Lord's body and blood seriously, then we will turn around and give our body and blood away freely by bending low and serving humbly the needs of others. And so I would say this is actually a privileged opportunity this year, if we let it, to focus on what a Eucharistic life should look like after we leave the church. See, because the Eucharist is not some kind of like artifact that we cling to, that we see in a museum, right? The Eucharist is meant to nourish us precisely so that we leave and wash the feet of others. In fact, you could say that if we don't leave the church after having received the Eucharist and bend low to wash the feet of others, that we are not living at all what we have received. And so this year, with the unfortunate deprivation of not receiving the sacrament, it calls us to draw our attention to what that should look like in our life. And that after we are back, able to receive the Eucharist again, how our lives should look. See, because when we hear those words every Mass, take this, eat of it, it's given up for you. Those, of course, do most perfectly apply to the Eucharist, but they are also supposed to apply to us. That as we receive that consecrated bread, the body of Christ, that we are called to go out into the world and give our bodies as a sacrifice, as an offering in service to others. And as we hear at every Mass, take this. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant. which is being shed and poured out for you and for many. Yes, that applies obviously most fittingly to the Eucharist, but it's meant to apply to our lives after we receive it, which is then we're called to go out and to give our life, our blood, in worship of others. I probably don't have to draw your attention to how many people are doing this right now in a heroic way. All of the incredible stories that we're all hearing about, of just incredible heroic self-sacrifice, of people in healthcare and on the front lines, and first responders who are literally giving their body and blood in service to people who are strangers to them. They're living the spirit, we might call, of the Eucharist. And so John's gospel tonight, which focuses on the washing of the feet, it's not to say, oh, no, the Eucharist isn't important. No. It's to say that having received the Eucharist, we're supposed to wash feet. And washing feet is a particularly apt symbol because we literally have to bend down. We have to lower our ego and our pride symbolically by bending low before the needs of others, precisely so that we can be below them to lift them up. That's why the washing of feet is such an incredible symbol for the kind of life that we're supposed to live having received the Eucharist, which is to lower our ego, lower our pride, to bend down, and to lift others up through service. That is the call of this evening. I was thinking how incredible it is that we started this week on Palm Sunday with Pilate taking water to wash his hands, to abdicate the responsibility that he had for another. And now we stop midweek to celebrate a different character, Jesus, who takes water and he doesn't use it to abdicate responsibility, but he precisely does it to show that his brother and sister's needs are his responsibility, that we are our brother and sister's keeper. And so we're not called to wash our hands and abdicate responsibility. We're called to use water to wash the feet of others and to take on responsibility for the needs of others. So many people are beautifully doing this in so many different ways right now, and it's really a beautiful thing to see. And as we celebrate this celebration, which is sort of oriented to the Eucharist, tonight the focus is on living the effects of the Eucharist. It's about living what the Eucharist is meant to do within us, to inwardly transform us so that we can give our body and blood totally to one another.